heavy rain and major flooding continue to wreak havoc in the plains, Midwest, and the Southeast. Parts of North Carolina got at least 6 inches of rain yesterday. Officials there say 3 people died Saturday night after their car became submerged under 6 feet of water. In St. Louis, the Mississippi River had its second highest crest Saturday night at 46 feet, according to the National Weather Service. Further south in Louisiana, officials have opened up the Bonnie Carey Spillway to release some water from the Mississippi River, allowing trillions of gallons of fresh water and runoff to flow into the Mississippi Sound. This is all having adverse effects on the marine life there. 125 dolphins and more than 140 sea turtles have died so far this year. Here in house, Peter O'Dowd, who's been reporting on the flooding in Mississippi, spoke with Dr. Moby Salangi, president and executive director of the Institute for Marine Mammal Studies in Gulfport, Mississippi.
You've described this flood as a freshwater hurricane in the Mississippi Sound. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's kind of unprecedented. We have a very large amount of river water that has been diverted into Mississippi that has caused a considerable change in the habitat.
And how bad is the damage to the sea life and to the habitat?
Well, I mean, considering that we're not connected to the Mississippi River, we are getting trillions of gallons of river water, which is not just fresh water. It has all sorts of mud, clay, silt, all sorts of industrial, agricultural, and sewage waste from 31 states and 2 provinces in Canada. What it does is reduces the salinity of the water. It brings in lots of other pollutants into it that cause a significant change in the ecosystem.
And it's killed dolphins. It's killed sea turtles. What happens when these animals come in contact with that fresh water?
Well, I mean, these are top predators. We use dolphins as good biological indicators of the environment. They're just like a black box of an airplane. When they start being affected, you know that something in the entire ecosystem has changed. And what we are seeing is that the blue crab fishery, this is the food that the turtles eat, has declined almost 35-40% or more. There's been a total loss of the oyster fishery. The oysters are the habitat for the blue crabs. And so there's a chain reaction. The salinity, which is normally between 10 and 15 parts per thousand, is now running at 0 to 5 parts per thousand, mostly towards zero. And so when you have saltwater animals that are now exposed to literally fresh water, for example, in dolphins, we're seeing very serious skin lesions. You know, the sores then open up and the bacteria and the fungi and the viruses enter into the animal and make it sick. Now, the jury is out on the turtles, but them being reptiles, they have scales on their body and you don't see visible effects. But because their diet may be changing, we may be seeing some physiological changes. We are going to be doing necropsies and pathologies and toxicologies to connect the dots.
Do you think that this problem will clear itself up once the floods finally recede, or do you think there's been long-term damage done?
Well, all of this was designed in the 1920s.
So, and you're referring to the flood control infrastructure, the Bonnie Carey Spillway.
That's correct, and its operational paradigm. My question to you is, how many people are driving 1920 cars?
Mm.
And so what we are seeing now is that the Bonnie Carey would be opened up every 5 or 10 years. Now, in the last 4 years, it has opened 3 times. And then this year, unprecedented in its 100-year history, it has opened twice, and it's going to continue for a long period of time. Usually, it ends up in 2 or 3 weeks, and then things start getting back to normal. We do have an estuarine environment which can handle fluctuations, but not this persistent exposure.
But what should be done about it? When you open that spillway, it protects a lot of human life downstream and a lot of property. So it's not so simple just to say, don't open the spillway.
Well, you're absolutely right. But the problem we see is that Mississippi has never had a seat on the table. They never thought that the spillways or diversions would cause any issues to Mississippi. Our problem is, for example, they put all this water into Lake Pontchartrain, which is a huge body of water, bigger than the Mississippi Sound. And that is in Louisiana. So they felt that, oh, okay, we'll just put it in our waters. But then it opens up into the Mississippi Sound, through a very narrow passageway. And even if they close the Bonnie Carey today, it'll be weeks and months before you see that exchange. Secondly, being at the dead end of the Gulf, there's no exchange of water as you see in the deeper waters. And so the water stagnates, it slowly is released, and this is a very long-term exposure. Now, what do we do next? Of course, there are other spillways, the Morganza spillway. That should be open first if you want to look at strategy, but they want to protect the resources of Louisiana more so than Mississippi.
Hmm. That's Dr. Moby Salonghi, Executive Director of the Institute for Marine Mammal Studies in Gulfport, Mississippi, sounding the alarm about marine life in the Mississippi Sound dying from the impacts of the river flooding upstream. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.